receive glory, honor, and power. Lay our crowns down at your feet, King forever, all you've done. You are worthy, Lord Almighty, to receive.
Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the live stream. It's great to have you joining us in this way. Hey, just want to encourage you to interact with us while you're on there. You can on our social media feeds, you can hit like buttons, you can interact with people. Just love for you to be a part of our service. And if there's any way that you'd like to connect with us, you can hit our website, hit the connect tab, reach out to us, and we'll get back to you and help you in any way you can. God bless you, and thanks for joining us this morning.
Morning, everyone. Kim's battery died, so she's running to the back of the room, and I know the thing says Kim York. I'm Jake York, Kim's husband. Kind of two times now, like once officially 2 years ago, and then unofficially again on Friday. Kim and I got like sort of married again, twice. We just loved it so much the first time. We were like, let's do this again. But like with friends and family because COVID happened and we eloped.
Yes. Yeah, it was actually fantastic. Thanks for covering. Yeah. Whew, made the run to the back. But yes, we were able to celebrate with our friends and some friends and some family at Seasider this week and do kind of an official wedding thing. So now it's official. We've been married for 2 years, but now we're for sure. Yeah. For sure married.
And to be clear, it was official before.
True, it wasn't fake.
Yeah.
So we've had a great week. It's been a busy week, but it's been great. And we hope you guys have had good weeks. But whatever your weeks have been, we're glad that you're here, that we are able to gather together on the traditional territories of the Wasanish people and to worship our great God together. So I'm going to invite you to get stand, and I'm going to open us up with a call to worship that's based out of Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. So it says this. Come, all that are weary, all that are carrying burdens so heavy, Jesus will give us rest. Come, take what Jesus has to offer, love, forgiveness, grace, and healing. Christ will give us peace. Come, find rest and learn from Jesus, for our Savior will give us rest in our souls. Come, let us worship our God. Let us follow our Savior, who leads us into life. So let's do that. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus, our great King of Heaven. Maybe we can do a little clapping too. Think you guys can be the percussion?
Yeah.
Jesus, let your kingdom come here. Let your will be done here in us. Jesus, there is no one greater. You alone are Savior. Show the world your love.
Sing, King of Heaven.
Heaven come now, King of Heaven come now, let your glory reign, shining like the day, King of Heaven come, King of Heaven rise up, who can stand against us, you are strong to save, in your mighty name, King of Heaven come. Children of your mercy, rescued for your glory, we cry, Jesus, set our hearts towards you, that every eye would see you lifted high. King of Heaven, come down. Let your glory reign, shining like the day, King of Heaven come. King of Heaven rise up, who can stand against us? You are strong to save, in your mighty name, King of Heaven come. King of Heaven.
We're hanging on every word.
Spirit. Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, we only want to hear your voice. We're hanging on every word. Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, we want to know you more and more. We're hanging on every word. 'Cause when you speak, when you move, when you do what only you can do, it changes us, it changes what we see and what we seek. When you come in the room, when you do what only you can do, it changes us, it changes what we see and what. And what we see, oh, it's changing everything, oh. When you move all our fears. And when you move us to tears. And when you move all our fears. And when you move us to tears. Spirit of the living God, we only next song is a song called Miracles. And it's a song that we've done a couple times at some First Tuesdays, which we were worship nights that we held, I think, before COVID mainly. But this morning, Steve is going to be talking about praying for healing. And it's a big topic. And this song, I think, really speaks into this. The verses say, "The one who made the blind to see is moving here in front of me, moving here in front of me. The one who made the deaf to hear is silencing my every fear. The one who does impossible is reaching out to make me whole. The one who put death in its place, his life is flowing through my veins." And then the chorus just says, "I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles." So I wondered if we could sing that together in faith. It's a fairly simple melody, so I encourage you to sing along as you feel comfortable. And if not, if you want to just sit or stand and meditate on these words and maybe make them a prayer. Maybe you want to be like the man in the Bible that said, "I believe, but God, help me with my unbelief too." Let's sing this, God, though. Our God is truly a God of healing and a God of miracles. So let's declare that together. The one who made the blind to see is moving here in front of me, moving here in front of me. The one who made the deaf to hear is silencing my every fear, silencing my every fear. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. Yes, you are. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. Does impossible is reaching out to make me whole, reaching out to make me whole. The one who put death in its place, his life is flowing through my veins. God who brings the dead to life, you're the God of miracles, the God of miracles.
God of miracles, the God of
sing that chorus one more time. I think it can be really easy to just sing along with songs. But do we believe these words? That God is a God of miracles. That he is able to make blind see, deaf hear. That he is able to bring back to life that which has fallen dead. Whether that's something physical in our lives or emotional or mental, let's sing this chorus one more time. Maybe it's a prayer, just quietly. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. Let's just sing it. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. One more time. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. Yeah, God, we do praise you, and we sing these worship songs for you because you are a great God. You are a God of miracles. You are a God who sees a way and is able to make a way when we see no way. When things seem hopeless around us, when things seem like they will never change, they will never get better, you are able to make a change. You are able to make a way. Because of that, we worship you. We've seen and heard stories of you through scripture, perhaps through other people in our lives, perhaps in our own lives. We know you to be this God of healing and of miracles and of power. And God, we ask you to do it again in our own lives and wherever we need it. All of us have brokenness in some way. And God, we ask you to do a healing work in us today. That you would be that way maker, miracle worker, light in the darkness that you are. So we give you glory and we give you praise. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Well, you can have a seat. And I'm going to dismiss the kids, actually, right now, too. So, kids, if you want to head to the back and find Shyla.
I cannot believe you think I would forget. Is this what's going on right now?
Never. Never. I have full confidence in you.
I don't. We have a phrase here. You've seen it on our mugs. You've heard us talk about it. If then, why not now? And it's in reference to stories that I'm going, like what I'm going to read for you this morning. It's found in John chapter 5. If you've got a Bible, if you want a smartphone, if you'd like to grab that and have a look at the story. John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda. and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me to the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else gets down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured, and he picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And I say, God, if then, why not now? Steve.
Well, good morning, everyone. Good to have you here on May long weekend, and the sun is shining. Isn't that awesome? Finally. So we want to welcome, there's some special guests this morning. Don't usually point out people because it makes them feel uncomfortable, but that's okay in this case. And that is, in the very back row is Jack and Jane and Jeff Glubker. And Jack Glubker was the lead pastor here at Sanage in the 90s. So they live in Michigan, or Jeff lives in San Francisco, but Jack and Jane live in Michigan. They're out visiting, and it's good to have you with us this morning. Just so you know, Jack, that's about as good as the clapping gets around here. So, and welcome to those of you online as well. And if you're visiting with us this weekend, we're really glad you're here, whether it's in person or online. But I've got a few things I want to share with the church family. Then I'll pray, and then we'll get into what God has for us this morning. But I've got a few things I want to just update the church family on. And the first is this. I just want to encourage you to continue to do the 30-30 challenge. And that's reminding yourself every 30 minutes as you go through your day for the next 30 days. Remember, you're going to have your phone or your watch beep, and you're going to remind yourself in that moment that God is with you, that you're going to go through the rest of your day saying, "Father, what do you want done or said in this moment?" And then as the Spirit prompts you, you're going to do or say what God is prompting you to do and to say. And we're taking this on. We started a couple of weeks ago. And I just want to remind you to continue doing that. And let's see how God is going to work. And so that's the first thing. Second thing is June 5th is Pentecost Sunday. And as you know, we're going through the church year, Christian year this year. And Pentecost Sunday, June 5th, and we're going to do baptisms. What a great day to get baptized on Pentecost Sunday. And if you're interested in getting baptized, this is the first baptisms we've done since COVID. And we're excited. And I want you to get involved and get baptized if you haven't been baptized. And so that's happening June 5th. If you're interested, send us an email at admin@sanagebaptist.org, and we will get back to you. Third thing, and that's this, Donna Menez. Many of you know Donna Menez. Donna lost her battle with ALS recently, and we had a private family graveside service last Tuesday, but we're gathering together as a church with others to celebrate Donna's life this coming Thursday right here at Wilkinson Road campus at 2 p.m. And so if you're interested in coming and celebrating Donna's life with us Thursday at 2 p.m. here at this campus. Also, the board has asked me, number four thing, the board has asked me to give you an update on our financial situation. And we've talked about that since September, our income has kind of been doing this. And if you were here, you're a regular part of Sanage, you know, a couple of weeks ago, Gerald Mickers, one of our leadership board members, gave an update and a challenge to the church. And I really want to thank those of you who have responded, thank you for that. And currently, as you might guess, we're working really hard at controlling expenses. But nevertheless, we are now into our operating line of credit, and we do not have a large operating line of credit. And so in the near future, unless things change significantly, we as a church are literally going to be out of money. All right, and that's not a great place to be. You can imagine that. That would mean that things are going to happen that we don't want to happen, like staff aren't going to get paid. We're not going to be able to pay our bills, and it's going to hurt our ministry. We're not going to be able to fund some of our ministries. And so this is a serious situation. My 33 years here at Saanich, this is probably the most dire financial situation I have seen us in. But we are literally getting close to running out of money. Not good. So here's what I want you to do. Two things I need you to do. Number one, we are sending out a short survey to people who say Saanich is their church. It's a real simple survey. It'll come out in the middle of the week. It's got four questions. I just want you to please respond to that. We need to know, coming out of COVID, who's in our church, who's part of our church, and it'll be really helpful. So please respond to the survey you're going to get. Second thing is I need you to pray. I really need you to pray. We need God to sell some of those cattle on, and 10,000, you know, whatever it is, the cattle on the hill, you know, that metaphor. We need God to release some resources. So we need to be people who are praying. Last thing. This is good news. You'll like this. This is better news than that. Thank you so much for praying. Those of you who prayed for Sylvia, myself, and Jeremy as we were down in Vicente Guerrero, not this past week, but the week before, we had a great trip. God answered so many of our prayers about finding out what was going on, both good and bad down there, and just getting a sense for where things are at. And I just want to share two stories. Then I'm going to pray and I'll get into the sermon. Two stories real quick. We went down and visited Pastor Beto. Pastor Beto, we've had a long partnership with at Casa Church. If you've ever been down to Mexico, you've gone to their Wednesday night service probably with us. And we met with Pastor Beto, and we were talking to Pastor Beto, and we fund his breakfast club for him. Do you know, right now, he's doing breakfast clubs in 7 sites with over 350 kids. So be encouraged. Be encouraged. Also, this is really cool. Calvary Chapel is a church in Vicente Guerrero, and we met with one of the elders from Calvary Chapel. And this elder has followed our journey as a church. And this elder remembers Tom and me talking about how we as a church would go out and serve the city. And he says, for years, I've been inspired by what Saanich is doing. And I've been trying to get Calvary Chapel to do that because we're a real inward-facing church. He says, you know what's happened? I just kept listening to what God was telling me to do and looking at your church. And I was inspired by the way you serve the city. And now I've encouraged our church. And our church has done 3 Serve the City events. We as a church have been inspired by your example. So, church, God is using us in powerful, powerful ways to influence others, to make kingdom difference, to transform lives. So let's be in prayer together. And with that, let me pray, and then we'll jump in. Father, thank you for today. This is a beautiful day you've made. Thank you that we can rejoice in it. Thank you that we can be here, whether online or in person, to worship you, to learn together, to be challenged by your Spirit. God, you are a good God. And Father, we just want to celebrate on June 5th, baptisms. Father, Pentecost Sunday, may we just have many go into the baptismal tank and express their desire to follow you through baptism. God, I pray for our finances that, Father, this is your church, not our church. And God, I just pray you'll release your resources. God, I pray you'll release your Spirit of comfort unto the Menez family. Father, just let them know your love and your peace in an amazing way. And I pray for Barb Ingram this morning too, Lord, as she's in hospital after a stroke, that God, you will be with her, that she will know that you love her and that your peace and comfort would be hers too. Father, thank you for how you're using and working through this church to inspire others. Father, we stand in awe on what you're doing and we thank you for that. Father, I just pray too as we jump into your word now that you will challenge us and stretch us. And Father, just let us hear what you have to say to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've been in a series ever since January called Do It Again, where we're looking at the whole idea that we need revival. And I've shared with you that I think, and not just for this church, but I think that God is planning to do a great move, a great revival as we come out of COVID. And here's our definition of revival that we've been using. We're saying revival is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the lives of Christ followers that results in the kingdom of God being manifest on earth as it is in heaven. And one of the things you see when revival comes is a sharp increase in people being healed. If you've been with us through this journey, you'll know that I told a story of revival coming to Victoria in 1923. And part of that revival was an increase in healings. They were frequent. They were dramatic. Actually, the Times Colonist newspaper back then reported the blind seeing and the lame walking. In revival after revival, when God moves in powerful way, his Spirit is poured out. And one of the ways, one of the manifestations of his Spirit being poured out is people are healed. And so with that in mind, today I want us to look at a healing story from the book of Matthew. In Matthew chapter 8, we find Jesus casting out demons and healing people. Let me read you these few verses from Matthew 8, starting in verse 14. When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she got up and began to wait on him. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and he bore our diseases. It's actually a pretty straightforward story. Jesus walks into Peter's house and he finds Peter's mother-in-law sick with a fever in bed. And so he touches her hand and she's healed. Feeling better, she gets out of bed and she waits on Jesus. Then word got out, and that evening people brought many demon-possessed and sick people to Jesus, and he cast out the demons, and you notice that he healed all the sick. It's a straightforward story that has a lot of powerful insights, and I just want to focus on one of those insights this morning. It's found in verse 17. It's an easy-to-miss insight, but at the same time, it's a huge insight, and it forms the foundation for all of Jesus' healing ministry. Here it is, Matthew 8, verse 16 and 17. When Jesus came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities, and he bore our diseases. The sentence, he took up our infirmities and he bore our diseases, is a quote from the Old Testament book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 53. And Isaiah chapter 53 talks about someone called the servant. And in Isaiah 53, we find that the servant will be despised and rejected. He will be labeled the man of sorrows. He will die a brutal death. He will be pierced and nailed. And that's a picture, of course, of the crucifixion. Isaiah 53 paints a picture of a servant who comes and who suffers on behalf of humanity. And who is that servant? It's Jesus, of course. Now, Isaiah 53 is usually seen as a prophecy that looks ahead to the death of Jesus. Which makes the way Matthew looks at Isaiah 53 so surprising. Here in chapter 8 of Matthew, Matthew is not referring to Jesus' death. Rather, he's talking about Jesus' life. Matthew is telling us that Isaiah 53 was not only speaking about the death of Jesus, but also about the life of Jesus. Notice again verse 17. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities. He bore our diseases. The healings Matthew tells us about in his gospel were being done to fulfill what was prophesied about in Isaiah 53:4. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. Matthew is saying that those words in Isaiah were being fulfilled as Jesus healed the sick. Now, for the observant amongst us, you will have noticed something here. Isaiah 53:4 reads this way: surely he took up our infirmities and he carried away our sorrows. And yet, when Matthew quotes the verse, he says he took up our infirmities and bore our diseases. See the difference? Sorrow, diseases. Did Matthew change the text from Isaiah? The answer is no. Matthew is actually being true to the Hebrew language which Isaiah was originally written in. The fact is, and I don't know why this is the way it is, it's just the way it is, most modern translations of the Bible do not emphasize physical sickness as clearly as the actual Hebrew text does. For example, Isaiah 53:4 in the New International Version, which many of you probably read, says this: surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. The word infirmities in the Hebrew means physical sickness, disease. Sorrows there means physical pain or the pain of sickness. Thus, Isaiah 53:4 should read this way: surely he, and that's the servant, that's Jesus, surely he took up physical diseases and carried our physical pain, yet we considered him smitten by God, stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. Isaiah is saying the coming servant will take up our sickness and carry away our pain. And again, who is the servant? It's Jesus. Jesus came to bring healing to every level of our being. Understand that. Jesus came to bring healing to every level of our being, physical, emotional, and spiritual. Isaiah 53:4-5 reads this way: surely he took up our infirmities, our physical diseases, and carried our sorrows, physical pain, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds, we are healed. The servant, that's Jesus, do you notice it? Came to deal with our sickness and our pain and our transgressions and our iniquities and our sin. Jesus came to heal the whole person, body, soul, and spirit. Jesus took on all that afflicts us so we could be made whole. Jesus not only brings forgiveness to our spirits, he also desires to bring deliverance to our souls and healing to our bodies. Isaiah 53:4 again: surely he took up our infirmities, our physical diseases, and carried our sorrows, our physical pain. Took up there in the Hebrew means to lift up, to lift off. Carried means to shoulder, to take on as one's own burden. Do you see this? Isaiah and Matthew tell us that Jesus took up, he lifted off and carried away our diseases, our sickness, our physical pain, as well as our sin and our iniquity. John Calvin, the great reformer, once said, "Christ bore away sin by the merit of his death and bore away sickness by the miracles of his life." Do we believe that? Do we believe that Jesus both forgives our sins and heals our diseases? If we do, then the logical question is this. If Jesus is taken up and carried away our sicknesses and our diseases and our physical pain, why are some people not healed? And that's a very legitimate question, a question I've been asked so many times as a pastor over the years. Why? Why? Well, first of all, on the cross, Jesus took our sin upon himself, bringing us forgiveness and victory over sin. And yet, all of us still struggle with sin, don't we? Likewise, Matthew says, Jesus took up and carried away our sicknesses and our pain, and yet people still struggle with pain and sickness and disease today. And I don't understand it all, and I certainly don't have all the answers. But let me suggest a couple of things for you to ponder on and just reflect on. And you don't have to agree with me. Some of you won't. That's fine. But just a couple of reasons to think about as to why not everyone's healed. Here's the first one. We live, and we've talked about this lots if you're part of Sanage, in the in-between time. The cross and the resurrection were God's D-Day. At the cross and the resurrection, a decisive victory happened. A victory over death and over sin and over evil. Ultimate victory was now assured one day because of God's D-Day, the cross and the resurrection. And God's victory day is coming when there will be no more pain, no more sickness, no more death. When all things will be restored and God's will finally be fully realized. And yet today, we live in the in-between time. Between God's D-Day and God's victory day. And the kingdom of God is here, but it's not yet fully here. And while we can experience the kingdom in the present, in the now, we don't fully experience it. That's the not yet. In other words, the victory of Jesus is final, but it's not yet fully realized. As someone has said, the kingdom has been inaugurated, but it has not yet been consummated. And it is this now and not yet of the kingdom that informs part of my understanding as to why some people are not healed in response to our prayers. If every single person we prayed for was healed and made totally whole, then the kingdom of God would be fully here. And that's something that won't happen until Jesus comes back. Thus, the presence of the kingdom as manifest in healing is now only partial, because we live in this in-between time in a world that has fallen. We all know that we live in a world where sin and evil are still active, where we still experience sickness and disease and pain and death. We live in a world where God's desire for wholeness is often frustrated. His will is not always done. I mean, that's why he taught his disciples to pray, right? In Matthew 6:10, in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The clear implication is God's will is not being completely done on earth as it is in heaven. We all know there's a battle going on between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness, and there's going to be victories and there's going to be losses. And the church's assignment in this in-between time, our assignment is to be kingdom bringers. We're to be people who bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. People who, through the empowering of the Spirit, bring up there, down here, through our words, through our actions, through our prayers. Should we pray for God to heal cancer? Well, how much cancer is there in heaven? None, so of course we should pray. Should we pray for God to release people from physical pain? How much physical pain is there in heaven? None, so of course we should pray. Should we pray for people to be healed from mental and emotional illnesses? Well, how much mental illness is there in heaven? None, so of course we should pray. Let's be people who are kingdom bringers, who pray for heaven to come to earth. Let's pray for an outpouring of healing. Let's pray with boldness and expectancy for God to move in wonderful and miraculous ways as we live in this in-between time. Here's the second reason why I think not everyone's healed today, and a number of you won't agree with this one in particular, but that's okay. You don't have to agree. I think we've sanctified sickness today. Today, some Christ followers see sickness as something that is sent by God in order to help people grow in holiness and Christ-likeness. Something that's sent to purify and build us up. And so we've sanctified sickness. And I think that kind of thinking is a key hindrance to seeing an outbreak of healing today. If we've sanctified sickness and we think it's something that God has sent, why would we pray for that to be taken away? But listen, nowhere do I see Jesus telling sick people who came to him for healing, that he was not going to heal them because their sickness was a blessing sent by the Father. I don't see that. And nowhere in the Gospels do I see Jesus sanction sickness, because sickness and death and disease are all part of the heritage of the fall. They're not part of God's original design. Now, to be clear, God can work good out of any situation. We know that. But that doesn't mean that every situation is good. On Tuesday, I buried a friend who died from ALS. I just don't think that's a good disease. I don't think God gave it to her. Now, on the other hand, as Donna journeyed through her ALS journey, God did some amazing things in her life, and her faith got stronger and more hopeful. Not everything that happens is good, but God can bring good out of every situation. In the Gospels, Jesus healed the sick, and I think he wants to work through us to heal people today. And that's why we need to pray as Christ followers, in faith, with boldness and expectancy, asking God to pour out his healing on people. Matthew 8:16 says this: when evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. Psalm 103, 2 and 3 says this: praise the Lord, my soul, and forget none of his benefits. What does he do? Forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. What do you need to bring to Jesus today? What do you need to bring to Jesus today? In your life, what needs healing? A relationship, something physical in your life, something emotional, something spiritual. What do you need to bring to Jesus today? Second question, who do you need to bring to Jesus? Who do you need to pray that they would experience God's healing in their life? You know, in our story, the night after Peter's mother-in-law was healed, right? People brought the sick and the demon-possessed into the presence of Jesus. Who do you need to bring into the presence of Jesus? Who do you need to pray that they would experience God's healing in their soul, in their spirit, in their body? I don't understand it all, and I certainly don't have all the answers. Sometimes I think as I get older, I have less and less answers. There's a lot of mystery, and the mystery's there because we live in this in-between time. Fortunately, Jesus hasn't called us to figure it all out. But he has called us to carry on his ministry in the world today. He has called us to be kingdom bringers. And because of that, personally, I'm choosing to participate in the healing ministry of Jesus and to pray with boldness and expectancy and in faith for people to be healed spiritually, emotionally, and physically. And we're going to give you an opportunity to pray a corporate prayer and to sit in the presence of Jesus together. And Lindsay's going to come and lead us as we do that. Lindsay?
Thanks, Steve. Yes. For those of you who've been around SBC for these last few months, we know we are trying to create some space to not just rush off at the end of the service.
Like I'm doing.
Yeah, like Steve's doing. But God's been at work. He's likely been speaking to you this morning. And so we just want to give you a chance to sit in that. And so I'm going to lead us, as has been our practice, in a corporate prayer. And there will be parts that I will say on my own and then parts that you'll join me with. So let's do that together. O Lord, you are indeed the healer of all our ills. We bring to you, Lord, our bodies, minds, and spirits, hurting and broken by the violence, ills, trauma, and cares of a world separated from you. Come to us now with your healing powers, and together breathe on us, O God, and make us whole. Friends in Christ, God knows our needs before we ask. But in our asking, he prepares us to receive his gift of grace. God ministers to us not as one who is absent, but one who is present. Even though we might not understand it, let us resound with the leper's faith. If you choose, Lord, you can make me whole. Eternal God, to whom all may come through your Son, lay your healing hand upon all those who are sick. Make your loving presence known to those who are lonely. Give your strengthening power to those who are weak. May those who lack be filled. Those who mourn be comforted. Those who worry be calmed. And those who seek forgiveness, find it in Jesus Christ, through whom we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, just want to give you a few moments before we rush off. Just to silently, quietly, maybe just with yourself, or you might want to turn to the person you came with and pray together to seek God. I'm just going to give you a few moments, and then there are going to be some people up front who would love to pray for you, with you, to pray maybe for some healing, physical, emotional, I don't know what it is. But let's just sit in a few moments of silence. Thank you. Father, we come to you this morning, and we believe for sure. That's why we're here. Why would we be here on, you know, the May-long weekend, beautiful morning? We believe, but I think if we're honest, God, there is some unbelief in us as well, and we're trying to grow in our understanding and grow in our ability to walk in this season of in-between, of knowing that your kingdom has been established, and yet we call out and we cry out that it might come. And so this morning, God, there's some of us here who are struggling. We're maybe struggling physically. It might be something emotional. It might be just something in our everyday life that we're having a hard time just allowing you to work in. And so we come to you and we ask, God, we believe, but we ask, help us in our unbelief. Grow our faith. Grow our trust. Take away our skepticism. Maybe for those who have spent a long time maybe praying for somebody and we just never saw you step in and do that miracle, that can be so hard and it can kind of jade us, color us from maybe coming to you in faith once again. And Lord, could you meet us there? Could you show us yourself in a fresh, powerful way? Thank you, God, for your presence. Thank you that you just continue to walk with us even when we do struggle, even when we maybe in our lives it seems that we're pushing you aside. Spirit of God, continue to strive with us, we ask. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for being with us this morning. If you came and you were wanting to continue in your worship through giving, so you know, we have the baskets at the doors as you leave. We also have a giving station. If you want to understand how you could give, maybe you've come and you actually want to give this morning, you can go to the back of the room and you can see Jeanette back there. She'd love to help you. But if you are here this morning and you would like someone to pray for you, we have people here who are willing to pray. Charmaine's here. Terry's going to be coming up as well. Please don't leave this morning. God wants to do something in your life. And maybe you need to do that with others. God bless. Thanks so much for being here.